How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com. I am here with Sam Jam Packard the Great, who finally has his phone back working. Went to the Phillies game tonight, let his phone lose all its juice, couldn't get in touch with me. I needed to have his friend tweet me to let me know that the podcast was going to have to be recorded pretty late. So I appreciate you making it through all of that to get back to the podcast, Sam.
Hey, I drank a couple 48-ounce beers that I think are only available in the fine city of Philadelphia, and my phone died. It's Jimbo. It was on me. And right when I was about to text you as I was leaving, it went dead. So I figured you're on basketball Twitter pretty much 24/7. It's the best way to get in contact you is having my friend tweet at you.
Actually, I've had friends tell me that tweeting me is better than texting me. Like, they're more likely to get a response and get a response quickly over Twitter than text. So I'm not the best texter, better tweeter. We've got a full lineup of Celtics stuff to talk about today. Kind of. I mean, nothing like too substantial. First, I want to start with an apology. An apology to you, the listeners. Our audio quality has not been great lately, and we understand that. And so what's happened is, like, the worst combination of factors. So John Corrales got a new computer, and his software is different. He's not sure how to operate it properly. My microphone, which was really nice, broke, and so I'm trying to make do with headphones. I'm trying to make do with – right now I'm just recording it on my phone, a phone call with Sam. So – We've got a lot of factors going on. We would love to, like, buy a recording studio and do it all together, but we can't do that. So we're sorry for the bad audio quality that some of these podcasts have had. We're going to figure it out. We're going to make sure that we get back to quality audio quality, if that makes sense.
We're getting that quality audio quality.
That quality audio quality on the Rain and Jays. So we do apologize. We got a lot of feedback today on Twitter, and we appreciate the feedback. So anytime you want to bash us, anytime you want to glow about us, anytime you want to tell us anything, we appreciate all of it so that we can give you a better show. Today's show includes kind of a lot. So there's a Blake Griffin rumor from Adrian Wojnarowski, who said basically that the Celtics are maybe the biggest threat to Los Angeles, and a danger is what Wojnarowski called them, the danger he called them to in the pursuit of Blake Griffin. And then we've got the draft tiers, annual draft tiers from ESPN's Chad Ford. And as people have talked about for a long time, this draft class is pretty loaded at the top with very quality audio quality talent. And then a story from the Boston Globe's Adam Himmelsbach, which was about Brad Stevens reaching out to Markelle Fultz's high school academic advisor to ask about the possible number one pick in this draft, Markelle Fultz, which is just a sign of the deep homework that the Celtics do on the candidates that they might pick. So we'll start off with Blake Griffin. And it's weird because Blake Griffin is he's a more accomplished player to this stage in his career than Gordon Hayward. Blake Griffin has 5 All-Star appearances. He has 4 All-NBA team nods. When he's healthy, he's one of the best, very best players in basketball. The problem with him and the reason why there hasn't been as much buzz about him as there has been about Gordon Hayward is only because of health. Like, if he didn't have such a long list of injuries in his past, I think he would be the Celtics' number one target. He'd be the guy they're going after. He would be, you know, he's still 28 right now. He's still relatively young, still theoretically could be entering his prime, but it's the injuries that have kind of pushed him below. But anyway, Adrian Wojnarowski, obviously the Yahoo God, reported today on his podcast that the Celtics are the danger, were his words, to sign Blake Griffin away from the Los Angeles Clippers. Sam, would you prefer Gordon Hayward to Blake Griffin? And how concerned would you be about adding Griffin? And would those concerns keep you from giving him a full max if you were Danny Ainge?
I think if you're going to get Blake Griffin, you're going to have to offer him a full max because he's going to be taking less money. With the injury history, it feels like he's the type of guy who you're not going to necessarily see him take a shorter years. I would imagine he's going to want long years because he doesn't know what his injury history is. And I think it's the type of situation where if you can get him, he has enough talent where I think you have to go out and do that. I just don't necessarily think that it's going to happen. And I'm definitely – the injuries concern me. I mean, Kevin O'Connor has written a lot about this, but just on his left leg alone, he's had a broken kneecap. He tore his meniscus, tore his quadriceps. He had another bone bruise, sprained knee. He's also had back issues. He broke his hand after punching a guy in the face. That's not related, but you always kind of have to bring that up in terms of his injury history. it's worrisome, and I think that he's definitely would be the number two free agent option, in my opinion. It feels like with the current Celtics roster, they really are kind of lacking in a secondary scoring, especially just shooting in general. And Blake Griffin, although he's gotten better at the mid-range shot, that's not necessarily his game. And I think him and Al Horford, they both have kind of great basketball IQs, and would the playmaking would be intriguing, but I think there's some positional redundancy with those two players, and it feels like Hayward would fit better in a system than Griffin would.
See, I go the other way, and I think if Blake Griffin had been fully healthy, like, he's the guy. He fixes some of the rebounding issues. He's not as great a rebounder as he used to be. I think without DeAndre Jordan next to him, his rebounding total would really rise. I think he makes the Celtics into an average-ish rebounding team right away, which is a huge improvement over what they were last season. I also think him and Horford, positional redundancy, maybe, but they can both guard fours. They can both guard fives. Blake Griffin added
kind of guard fives, though. Then you'd have two guys who are not great at guarding fives.
But then you'd have two guys who can also abuse fives, like Horford. You know, he ran into Marcin Gortat and Robin Lopez. He ruined those guys. And yeah, they had some rebounding, and they both did some damage on the glass. But Horford did whatever he wanted against those guys. Like, had absolutely awesome series against those guys, and the Bulls and the Wizards just couldn't guard the Celtics, partly because of that. So if you had Blake Griffin, that would be the best passing front court in the league. It would be two guys who can hold their own, and then Blake Griffin added the beginnings of a 3-point shot. He shot like 34% from the arc while taking almost about 3 a game, I think. So two guys who at least give you the threat of a 3-point shot. I think Blake Griffin If he was healthy, he's a better fit. But because of the injury issues and because, like, I you can't trust him at this point to stay on the court, then Gordon Hayward is the clear number one. And Gordon Hayward, I think he's a great fit too. I think in this NBA, you can't have enough wings. You can't have enough, obviously, efficient scoring. And for a guy at who did it with his volume, he was one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA last season. So Gordon Hayward, absolutely. He would be a big upgrade. He's my number one. But if Blake Griffin could stay healthy, and obviously we don't have access to his medical records, we don't have any of that, then he would be, I think, my number one. And like he's been a top five, top 10 player when healthy. Gordon Hayward, for as good a year as he had this past year, he's never reached that level.
Yeah, there was a point where Blake Griffin was in the MVP discussion. I think a couple years ago, he was the clear number three. I think the main question is with his injury history. I mean, obviously the talent's there. If you're Danny Ainge, do you give him the full four-year max that you can offer him, or is that kind of a deal breaker? Do you only offer him like a 2+1?
That would scare the hell out of me, the full four-year max, because later on that could crush you. Like that could be the type of contract where his body is falling apart and he can barely play, he can barely stay on the court. You never know. And it's sad because everybody says Blake Griffin is like this super hard worker, and it's clear like he became a knockdown mid-range shooter. He then extended his range to the three-point arc. Like, his game has morphed as his athleticism has dwindled a little bit. And you can tell he puts a ton of time into it, and he stays in great shape, but he's just had this bad injury luck. And so it would scare the hell out of me to give him the full 4 years, because who knows what the back end of that would look like. But if he could stay on the court, and if he could be really good, he's very intriguing. And it's because of all the other stuff that I would be scared. Even if the Celtics whiff on Hayward and go after Blake Griffin, it would scare me if I'm Danny Ainge, because like that could end up being a bad contract. And obviously, I don't think the Celtics, even with Blake Griffin, even if they get either him or Gordon Hayward, we've talked about this a lot, they're not ready to win right now. So the not necessarily maintaining like elite flexibility moving forward, but having the options to make moves later on and not have this massive max contract holding you down, it would be huge. And there is a chance that if they do go after a guy like Blake Griffin for a long-term max contract, that it would really, really hold them down. Now, I don't know what the market for him will be. I think a lot of teams will be scared off by that past of injuries. And, you know, for him, like LA has been a good fit, I think, for him off the court. I think he's obviously like, he's got some acting chops. I think he does like some stand-up comedy. Like LA is a very good place for him in that sense. I don't know how much he's loved playing with Chris Paul. I don't think the Clippers have done a great job of maximizing Blake Griffin's talent. I think he has a level of playmaking that has not been unlocked yet. So I think as he looks at things, and the Clippers have never advanced past the second round, he's got to be looking at the rest of the NBA and thinking, maybe there's a better place for me basketball-wise. And I think Boston is absolutely at this point a better place for him basketball-wise, especially with Brad Stevens' system and the way that big men are empowered to play make. He is built to play almost in Brad Stevens' system. And I would love to see the creativity that Brad could have with Horford and Blake Griffin as these two playmaking, awesome passing big men.
No, it'd be amazing to see. Just anytime you can give Brad Stevens talent and just let him go kind of run wild with it. We've seen each of the past couple of seasons, just like the more talent he's had, the better he's been able to do. But ultimately, because of kind of the reasons you mentioned, I don't think it's a likely scenario. I mean, Woj can say what he says on his podcast, but one of the main reasons he said that, I don't know how much inside information, but he said Blake was there when Paul Pierce got an awesome send-off by the TD Garden fans. And I don't, like, that's a nice reason, and maybe it's like a small thing in the pro Boston column, but I don't think it's a reason that, like, a guy who you mentioned is, like, doing stand-up. He's appearing on every rapper or comedian's podcast. Like, it feels like a guy who pretty much enjoys the L.A. lifestyle. And so I don't know if he's ready to do that. Also, you mentioned that there's going to be a number of other teams who are looking to sign Blake Griffin, teams that are in far worse shape than the Celtics and are probably more willing to take a risk on a larger or long-term deal than the Celtics would be. I just think they're like, it doesn't, I don't think the Celtics make sense in terms of, or because they're probably not willing to offer that fourth year, or I don't think they should be. I don't think that's the immediate place that Blake Griffin's going to come to. So I think it's a nice story, and it's definitely something that's intriguing, but in terms of something that I think is likely to happen, at this point, it feels like Hayward is more likely to happen than Blake Griffin.
Yeah, and I think Hayward will and should be the top target. But going after Griffin, and especially if it's a shorter-term deal, if you can somehow convince him to take less than the four-year max, then that's very intriguing. And it's the type of move that if it worked out, it could be awesome, but it would come with risk. And the Celtics have been very against risk over the last 4 years. And I think it's less risky if you pass on Hayward and then you have this cap space and it's like either use it or lose it because – you know, you're going to get to the point where you have to extend guys and you have to give them bigger contracts, the guys that are currently on the team. So this cap space this year is kind of, it's use it or lose it. So it's either like add a quality player for without giving up assets or, you know, that cap space is going away. It's not going to be there into the future. This is not something that they can pass on to next year and go after free agents next year. It's kind of like this one-time thing where they can go after guys. And so we'll see what happens. Another thing that happened today was Chad Ford came out with his annual draft tier list. And what he does is he ranks players based on a survey of GMs. And he asked them, you know, are they tier one, which tier one is like superstar potential. Tier two is all-star potential. And so this draft, he had Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball as the two tier one prospects. And that's pretty rare. Like most drafts don't have more than one. Some don't even have one. So it's rare that there's two tier one prospects. Markelle Fultz was actually a unanimous pick by the GMs as a tier one prospect. So he is a legitimate number one candidate. Like this is a guy who in any draft would be considered one of the top two or three guys. And in this one, and in most, is a legitimate number one candidate. So it was interesting to see that, like a lot of people have said, this draft, it really ranked out high. There were eight prospects in tier two, which Ford said, I think, had never been done before, where there were 10 in tier one and two. So it's a deep draft. It's almost like, obviously it's best to have the number one pick, but this, if there was one draft where the Celtics could afford to slip, like this would have been the draft where they would have been okay falling to five or six or whatever. Obviously it's better to have a chance to go after Markelle Fultz, but this is a great draft. Any reaction, Sam, to that list? Obviously, there wasn't anything too surprising about it, but it the more and more information that comes out, I think the more and more comfortable Celtics fans should be with Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, no, that's my initial reaction is, well, that's good that there's usually when there's just general consensus around a guy that is going to be that good, it's really hard for like that player to be a complete bust. I think just it's clear that Markelle Fultz is going to be a great player. My second reaction to that is, what are the Sacramento Kings thinking trying to like consolidate their two top five picks or two top 10 picks into one? It feels like having multiple picks in the top 10 this year would be the exact year to have it. I mean, we saw this is something that happened at the trade deadline. Everyone kept on advocating for the Celtics to trade someone, or just trades in general, and it felt like a lot of teams are really holding out to try and get picks in this year's draft, and that's one of the reasons why I did think Danny Ainge would end up doing anything, because a pick in this year's draft, because it's so deep, feels like a whole lot more valuable, and of course the Celtics weren't going to trade The number one pick for someone like Serge Ibaka, but it shows you why that was the kind of the price for a player like that, is because everyone's trying to get into this draft. So definitely to be at the top is the best place to be, but it's not surprising at all. And I'm kind of just making that much more excited for the draft in summer league, because after the Celtics take Fultz, it feels like at this point we have no idea what's going to happen with the next even four picks. Like, I have no idea how the top five is going to shake out. And we saw some of that kind of intrigue happen when the news came out that Josh Jackson's refusing to work out with the Celtics. People are alleging that he's got a promise, a top two promise. I think someone said Jason Tatum got a top four promise, but it feels like after the Celtics, it's really confusing. And it starts with the Lakers pick at number two, because everything coming out of their camp is that they're not entirely thrilled with Lonzo Ball, although he did have that self-deprecating commercial today for Foot Locker, so shouts to Lonzo for having a sense of humor. But we have no idea what the Lakers are going to do, and I feel like that's rare a week before a draft, not really knowing kind of what direction the draft's going to go in.
I still think Lonzo Ball is going to be their guy, but apparently the latest report, I believe, says that the Lakers front office is going to watch Lonzo Ball, like his whole workout regimen, his training regimen, his conditioning, everything, and maybe that's just to get a better gauge for him. Maybe that's Lonzo's side being like kind of desperate, like we might be losing the grasp on this number two pick. Let's show him the work ethic. Let's show him all of this stuff. So I don't know how to read them. I still think Lonzo Ball is the second best prospect in this draft, and because of that, I still think the Lakers will pick him. But you never know. Like, Josh Jackson, obviously really good. Jason Tatum, some people love him. So there are still other candidates that they could take there. But I still think it will be Ball. The Jackson skipping a workout with the Celtics thing, it didn't surprise me too much. And he ended up working out for a second time with the Lakers the day after. So maybe he just thought, like, I'm probably not going to get drafted by the Celtics anyway. They're probably going to go with Markelle Fultz. There's a high probability that happens. So instead of flying cross country after I work out for the Celtics and then maybe being tired when I work out for the Lakers, who I might really realistically go to, let me skip that workout, stay in L.A. or go straight to L.A. and be fresh for that and try to impress them to have a better chance at realistically going number two. And I don't know if there is a promise. Maybe there is. There have been some reports, some speculation about whether he has a promise. But at the very least, it doesn't seem like he is very hopeful of going number one if he's canceling a workout with the team that has the top pick in the draft.
I mean, nor should he be. At this point, if the Celtics don't draft Markelle Fultz, it's going to be I just absurd. It doesn't make any sense. It feels like he's the right fit, and he's clearly the best prospect and can do a little bit of everything and is a top-tier athlete.
No, he can do a lot of everything.
So he can do a lot of things well and is one of the best athletes in the draft class. It just doesn't make sense not to take him. So if I'm Josh Jackson, I'm not flying to Boston just to kind of go through a charade that everyone who's there participating knows is just like, it's just a show. There's no real point to it. I mean, yeah, work out for the Lakers, make sure, like, that's a realistic way for him to jump up, not working out for Celtics. It felt like people reported that, and the immediate implication was like, oh, well, he must have this promise from this team. It's like, there are a whole number of reasons why that didn't happen. As for the Lakers, I have no idea what they're going to do, because it feels like we've never seen Rob Pelinka or Magic Johnson kind of operate as general managers. Maybe they have a lot of faith in D'Angelo Russell or to be their point guard of the future, or maybe I was going to say Jordan Clarkson, but that doesn't make much sense. We don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they like anything the Lakers did at this point. And if they don't take Lonzo Ball at number two, then it becomes an interesting situation, because I think he'd be really a kind of an interesting fit next to Ben Simmons, who's been declared the Sixers point guard, who's another guy who's a great playmaker, a great passer, but doesn't have the most consistent outside shot. I don't know how exactly those two guys would fit well together. So it'd be an interesting situation where you could potentially see Lonzo falling. I don't think he would get past four because him and Devin Booker together feels like that'd be a great combination. But it's just a lot of draft intrigue. A week before the draft is always fun. It's much better than knowing what the top five picks are going to be.
Yeah, so one bit of draft intrigue, which might just be intriguing to me, but the Boston Globe's Adam Himmelsbach wrote a story today where Himmelsbach connected with the DeMatha High School academic advisor, who was the academic advisor in high school for Markelle Fultz. And turns out Brad Stevens had called this academic advisor to find out a little bit more about Markelle Fultz. And my initial take was like, wow, the Celtics dig deep to find out about these prospects. Like, when I was in high school, I probably talked to my academic advisor like two times total. For Markelle Fultz, like, how many times could he have talked to his academic advisor? Like, he was one of the top recruits in the country. Like, what really could he have talked to his academic advisor about? But she raved about him, one, and two, was kind of gave some insight into the questions Brad Stevens was asking, which is, how does Markelle Fultz react to disappointment? Like, what type of personality does he have? Like, kind of trying to get to know him better. And there are two ways to take that. One, the Celtics are just doing a lot of draft intel, and they are trying to get to know as much as possible about the guys that they could take, whether it's Markelle Fultz. They might have called Lonzo Ball as academic advisor. They might have called, Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum's, all these guys. And two, they might already be trying to figure out how best to motivate Markelle Fultz and how to relate to him once he does get onto the Boston Celtics roster. And I think it's probably closer to the former, which is they're just doing their due diligence. They're trying to reach out to as many people as possible. But it's incredible how many people they will talk to and ask about. And it was funny in the story, the academic advisor said the Phoenix Suns were the only other team to call about Markelle Fultz. And the Phoenix Suns, of course, are run by Ryan McDonough, who was Ainge's understudy in Boston for a long time. So it's kind of a Boston thing. Like, the Celtics front office is big on talking to these academic advisors, I guess. And it makes a lot of sense. Like, if you want to learn about a guy, ask everybody that they deal with and ask about them in different situations, how they handle different situations. He probably faced – and I don't know what type of grades he's had, but considering how unbelievable he is on the basketball court, he's probably faced more failure in school than he has on the basketball court. And so it's interesting that they're going to somebody like that to see how he's dealt with failures in the past.
Yeah, it's not the most surprising thing, because if you've talked or kind of heard Brad Stevens talk about his approach to – it doesn't feel like just basketball or just coaching. It just feels like one of the things is approach to life is this, like, growth mindset. There's this professor out of Stanford who wrote a book about kind of how to achieve your goals and always be building. And it feels like Stevens is huge on that mental approach and responding to weakness or responding to adversity and kind of how do you deal with weakness is something that I feel like the Celtics, it's even something that is just, it's come up in the Sloan conferences past couple of years, is that the psychology of a player is becoming more and more important and something that the teams really try to figure out beforehand. So it's not the most surprising thing in the world. It's just my question is, how did Himmelsbach get this information? Because did he have to call the DeMatha High School and talk to that academic advisor, or did some little birdie go in his ear and say, hey, this is a pretty good story? Because that's a good scoop for Himmelsbach to find.
Yeah, that was neat. And the Celtics are big on the concept of grit. Brad Stevens, one of his favorite things is grit and how guys kind of persevere through moments that don't go their way. And he's talked a lot about the psychology of it, and that is something that really stresses.
The professor who, like, wrote the book on grit is this woman, Angela Duckworth, from the University of Pennsylvania, my now alma mater.
Oh.
And she's given talks on campus pretty much every week about grit. She's the grit queen. So I'm pretty sure Stevens has had meetings with her So yeah, basically, I'm Brad Stevens' academic advisor.
Yes, you are. You have now become Brad Stevens' academic advisor.
If I know the transitive function, like I think I do, I think I figured that one out.
I think you are absolutely correct there. So you wanted to go. You've got one take before we end this. We're gonna throw it to Sam Jam Packard for a hot take to carry us into the end of this episode.
This is more of a half-baked idea than a hot take, but this was something that was crossing my mind during the fifth inning. No, it was during the 10 minutes of tonight's Red Sox game after the pitcher Brian Johnson got hurt, and then there was a 15-minute delay to warm up a new pitcher. I got to thinking.
So hold on. Which 48-ounce beer was this on, one or two?
This was on beer two. First, I went with a Bud Light, and then the second one, I went with a Molson. So this was during the Molson session. So we'll call this a Molson half-baked idea. And so last night on the pod, we were talking about what do the Cavs do and maybe searching out a deal for Kevin Love. And me and John were saying that maybe the Cavs trying to get more depth would deal Kevin Love. And John proposed the fake trade, mostly as a goof because he went on that rant against proposing fake trades. Kevin Love for Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Tyler Zeller. The money matches up. And initially, last night, you might remember, I scoffed at the idea, but I slowly got to thinking it's not the worst idea in the world because I think for a lot of the qualities you mentioned earlier about Blake Griffin, I think Kevin Love brings that too. He would definitely improve the rebounding. I feel like he might be a better fit in the system because you could still play five out with him because we've seen how well he can shoot three-pointers. I don't think he's necessarily I think he kind of presents the same problems on defense as Blake Griffin was in that, I mean, he serves no answer for Tristan Thompson, but it really allows the Celtics to go small. And the main reason I was kind of thinking about this is that if the Celtics have really resigned themselves to the idea that the Warriors are going to be great for the next couple of years, by trading away Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, it kind of opens up playing time for Markelle Fultz and Jaylen Brown. So with Kevin Love, they'd still have a very competitive team, but I don't think it would necessarily put them over the edge. But it would open up, I think, perhaps speed up the development of Fultz and Jaylen, and boom, then you're that much closer to championships 4 years down the line because now you've gotten Jaylen Brown playing 30 minutes a game and Markelle Fultz playing 25 minutes a game instead of the much smaller roles that I expect him to get next season. So, bam, that's my half-baked idea. Trade Avery Bradley, Kevin Love, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Tyler Zeller for Kevin Love. Also, it saves you about $1 million in cap room, so it just makes it that much easier to sign Blake Griffin.
Did you whip out the ESPN trade machine at the
I'm looking at
ballpark?
It right now. I'm looking at it right now, my friend. Also,
a little bit of Molson madness.
Kevin Love's contract would be up the same time as Al Horford. So if you decide to totally go with the youth movement, you'd have a bunch of this cap space when those two guys are old. They'd come off the books at the same time. It feels like all the pieces are coming together on this one. I don't see any flaws in my logic whatsoever. Please inform me, enlighten me, Jay King.
I'm gonna let the Molson madness stand. I won't interrupt the Molson madness at all. I'll just let it sit there. And
sounds like the argument of a guy who's got no argument.
I mean, there are a lot of arguments. That begin with, would the Cavaliers do that? I'm not convinced.
Oh, don't bring the Cavaliers into this scenario.
Let me just leave the Molson madness as is. Let it sit there. Let the people react to it. Hashtag Rain and Jays. Tweet us about any audio issues you have.
High quality audio.
We will soon return to quality audio quality, I promise. And we'll keep coming to you Monday through Friday. And it's gonna be the draft soon, and then it's gonna be summer league, and we're gonna be overreacting about Abdul Nader dominating. I can't wait. I can't wait. Actually, Summer League should be so much fun. Like Ante Zizic, Markelle Fultz, Jaylen Brown.
I'm going to do my best. I have a flight already booked to Vegas. No hotel yet, but I might be starting a job in July. I don't know yet. I'm going to try and negotiate so I can start after Summer League because I want to be there. It should be a good time.
So sorry, guys. I can't come. Going to Markelle Fultz's Summer League. Got to be there.
Good thing that any potential employers I have are not listening to the Reigning Jays, but they should be. That will be part of my negotiation process as well. They owe me at least 5 listens per week.
They will certainly appreciate the Molson Madness, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Although they will also appreciate, you should put it on your resume, that you are the new academic advisor for Brad Stevens.
Brad
Stevens. Celtics. So
I will.
That's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. Anyway, that's a good place. Good place.
I
want to
say one more thing before someone yelled at me on Twitter that there should be an evening out in Brooklyn the night of the draft. And I don't really have a full-time job this summer and can get to Brooklyn easily. So if people want to do some sort of live Molson Madness from Sam Jam Packard, just tell me where to be at in Brooklyn and I'll be there night of the draft. It sounds like a great idea.
This sounds like it could be a wild night. Wild night. The Celtics academic advisor out with the people on draft night. I wish I could go. I wish I didn't have to work that night, man.
Man, we'll be out late. New York never sleeps. Once you file a couple stories, we'll meet you out, man.
Molson Madness, baby. All right. Let's end it there. Everybody gather in Brooklyn. We must have a fair share of New York listeners. No, nobody wants to watch the Knicks and Nets anyway, so... Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you all for listening. Again, the audio quality will return to quality stuff very soon. And we'll be here Monday through Friday. The draft coming, Summer League coming, free agency coming. The Celtics are in, like, right now that the NBA Finals are done, I would say the Celtics are, like, the center of the NBA universe. They are the most interesting team moving forward over the next month or so, because who knows what the heck they will do, because I certainly don't. So tune in with us, subscribe, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else. Subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate it. Those 5-star ratings push us up the ratings list. They let more eyeballs get to us, more ears rather get to us, increase our visibility. So we really appreciate it if you do that. And that's all. That's it for this episode of Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.